as we travel this earth-shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross.
Thank you. I forgot to mention, but I was really indebted to J.R. and Rita, too, because they brought me back a coffee mug. And now we have two coffee mugs. And so if, as you're traveling and you go on trips, if you just remember that the great need of my life is coffee mug. It really is. I had the one that someone gave me. I think it was Chuck. And, of course, you know, I couldn't watch the girls keep drinking out of their hands, so I pretty much let them use the mug. And but now I've got another one. And so, anyway, I'm very excited about that. And I know there's a lot of needs here, and I'm not trying to elevate mine above anybody else's, but if you could just remember, Lord, you know, as the Lord leads you, as you go on vacation this summer, you know, that just maybe God would give that little thought to you, that, you know, it'd be good to help Pastor Jerry out. All right. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. I've misplaced my glasses. The only bad part about needing reading glasses, it just gives me one more thing to lose and one more thing to destroy. I've sent them through the washing machine. I've stepped on them. I've sat on them. I've misplaced them. I don't even know. I start out by buying, and you can, this is true, I bought multiple pairs. I probably had 8-9 pairs of reading glasses, and now I can't find any of them. I've got one pair left beside my bed, I think, and one I leave on the table in the living room so I can do my devotions in the morning. I'm scared to move those two. I need those two where they're at. So anyway, I'll do the best I can, and if I can't see what I'm reading, I'll try to just make something up that sounds good. And Judges chapter 16, let's all stand. And I'm going to preach on Samson and Delilah. Samson and Delilah. Judges chapter 16 and verse number 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow, and is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he winced not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow after he was shaven. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would please, Lord, use this message tonight to protect and to help and to warn and to keep us, Lord, from making the mistakes that we see that Samson made in this portion of Scripture. And Lord, we thank you for the preaching of your word. It's important, as we talked about this morning, that we just park ourselves on a regular basis underneath the preaching of God's word, the teaching of God's word. And Lord, it's not sometimes so much that we learn brand new things. It's that we are reminded oftentimes of eternal truths. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just give us a reminder. May the Holy Spirit take these truths and apply them where they're needed as they should be applied. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'll tell you that after reading the Bible year after year after year, and after spending time over and over again in these Bible stories and examining these Bible characters, there's a certain amount of affection that I feel towards the Bible characters. They become very real to me. You know, I think from time to time it's good for us to be reminded that these people are just not names in the Bible, but they were real people that lived a real life, that God allowed to walk this earth, and for a period of time, We have, of course, recorded for us their life story. And I'll be honest with you, I love Samson. I just do. I love him. I am so saddened when I think of him, because I believe that here was a man that had such unbelievable potential, and yet, because of some basic foundational faults, he was never able to fully realize all that the Lord could and would have done with him. And I guess I relay that back to 20-some years in the ministry, as I watch people that I believe had the greatest potential for the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet because there was a besetting sin, because there was an area that Satan went and made havoc of and made the most of, they were limited in what they actually did accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to talk a lot to our young people tonight, but this sermon's for all of us. But young people, if you're sitting here and you still have within your grasp the full potential of everything that God would want you to do with your life, don't throw it away over foolishness. Don't throw it away over foolishness. You see, Samson, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22 says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of sin." I think Samson lived his life with a very dangerous philosophy. I think he walked around saying, "It doesn't matter if I always live by every law of God, because if I do get in trouble, I'm strong enough to get myself out of it." And you know what? We could go back through the story of Samson, and there was times where the Lord did allow him, kind of the Lord, I think he thought it was his power, maybe he didn't realize it was God's power, that allowed him to sidestep some landmines. But the problem is that Samson never learned his lesson. You see, young people, anyone who plays with sin long enough will eventually be bound by that sin. That's what Proverbs 5:22 says. "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of sin." I remember Pastor doing this, showing this illustration to us right here, I think, in this auditorium. I preached at a junior camp last year, and I did the same thing, where if you'll take just a little spool of thread, and you know, anybody in here pretty much can take a piece of thread and easily break it in half if you put a little effort into it. But I brought a young person up on the platform in our junior camp, and I put one strand around their wrist, and then I said, "Try to break it." And you know, even a junior age boy can snap that pretty easily. Then you'll put two around there, and you know what? He may struggle just a little, but not much, and he snaps that. Then you put three across around him, and you'd be surprised. He really had to struggle just to finally get to where he broke that. But you know what? The next time I went four, and then five, and then six, and then I said, "Now try to break it." And you know what? That little teeny thread that was so easily broken when it was just one time placed around. You know what? If we let sin keep repeating itself and repeating itself and repeating itself in our life, the very thing that we think we can control will someday control us. Boy, I hope you got that. I hope you got that. I hope you got that. I'm pleading. I'm coming in here tonight and saying, if there is some little thing that you've allowed to exist, that you've protected from the conviction of the Holy Spirit and resisted God moving that out of your life, and you say, "Oh, Brother Jerry, it's not a very big thing." And let me tell you something. If you let that thing sit there and you don't deal with that sin, it may not seem very strong, but it's going to grow in strength. And you may think you're in control, but one day it'll control you. You may think that you boss it, but one day it'll become your boss. And you may think that sin is the slave and you're the master, but the honest truth is it won't be very long and that sin will be the master and you'll be the slave. And we see this in the life of Samson. Anyone who plays with sin long enough will eventually be bound by that sin. And we see here the end, really, of the story of Samson's life. And we're not going to go back and try to reteach all of it. But let me just give you this. Samson's great weakness was his desire for the wrong kind of women. Samson's great weakness was his desire for the wrong kind of women. Can we just look at this real quickly, and we'll just read a few verses. Judges chapter 14. This started back in the early stages of his life. Judges chapter number 14 and verse number 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of the brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Samson really lacked wisdom when it came to this matter of searching for a mate for life. He really lacked wisdom. You see, he was unwise on several levels. If we took the time, we won't. You could go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, where he had access to this, by the way. It was in the Old Testament law where God commanded the children of Israel not to take heathen wives. He told them, they will turn your heart from me. They will, they will, they will. And yet he ignored a clear teaching of the Bible. We not only have Deuteronomy chapter 7, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14 that warns us about becoming unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And young people, listen to me. You need to examine your heart in this area. What kind of a young man, girls, are you drawn towards? Do you desire? What kind of a young lady attracts you? If you are unwise in this area, then what you need to do is go to the Bible, see what it says. He was unwise because he ignored clear Bible teaching. Not only that, he was unwise because he based his decision on outward appearance rather than on inward godliness. Boy, I can't tell you how important this is. This is. We live in such an age, excuse me, where so much emphasis is put on the outward and so little on the inward. And young men, please, 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 don't be deceived by that. Don't make a decision for a lifetime based on what a girl looks like on the outside. Be much more concerned about the virtue that she possesses on the inside. Proverbs chapter 31 tells us, listen, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? If we had time, we could go back to Genesis chapter 6 and watch that the generations that preceded Noah made the great mistake because the sons of God began to choose themselves unsaved and heathen women based on their outward appearance. That was their main criteria for selecting a mate. I can't tell you how tragic that can become. I can't tell you. Listen. He that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you make this major decision based on just a fleshly level, you will reap corruption. Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so he made this decision. I think he was attracted to the heathen women, not God's young ladies, godly young lady, because you know what? The heathen women knew how to slap the makeup on and look seductive. They didn't dress correctly. They knew how to strut their stuff. They knew how to entice. They knew how to tempt. And he let his flesh make the decision instead of getting on his knees and saying, God, this is the second most important decision I will make in my life. And young people, I don't know besides salvation any other decisions that will more determine the destiny of your life than the selection of who you marry. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. Okay, don't get caught up in all of this stuff that's going on. Don't get caught up in the flesh and the outward appearance and all of those things. Let me tell you something. You need to find you a godly young lady. You need to find you a young lady that loves Jesus. You need to find a young lady that walks with God. You need to find a young lady that reads her Bible. You need to find a young lady that prays. You need to find a young lady whose heart's desire is to find and fulfill God's will for her life. Find that kind of a young lady, and let me tell you something. You'll come back 1,000 times and thank your preacher for this advice if you'll listen to me and follow this, because your long-term happiness is not going to be determined on how pretty the outside of the person is. It's going to be determined on what kind of integrity they have on the inside and their level of godliness, okay? Number three, I think he made an unwise decision. It was unwise because he ignored his parents' counsel. And here his mom and dad pleaded with him. You know, kids, listen to me. We're not in the business, and I've never told and never have told that parents give them the okay to go choose your mate. But you know what? Some of you are so stubborn and so rebellious, so determined that if your mom and dad even were to make a suggestion, you're not going to do it just because they suggested it. Or if they don't like somebody out of rebellion, you're going to go after them. You know, can I say something to you? You are a very foolish young person. You're a very foolish young person. Do you know that there's nobody in the world that knows you more than your mom and dad, knows you better than your mom and dad? And you know what? They're not looking at that mate through eyes that are going boom, 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 boom. You know, they're not captivated by all those things you're captivated by, and you ought to listen to their advice. I'm going to say it again. Some of you are sitting there and you're bristling. You shouldn't bristle about this. If your mom and dad, if you get involved in a relationship, your mom and dad come to you and say, we have genuine concerns about this. I think this is the kind of young person that's going to take you away from God's will, take you away from the God's direction in your life. You ought to grab your dad and grab your mom and hug them and say, thank you for loving me and thank you for caring about me. And again, parents, you ought to have a very scriptural, biblical reason for doing that. Don't just decide that you're going to become a control freak and pick who your kids marry. I'm saying you ought to have right reasons for doing it, but at the same time, kids, if mom and dad, who's loved you and fed you and clothed you and put a roof over your head and cared about you more than anybody else in the world, and they see something happening because of the type of person you're being attracted to that's changing you and changing the core person you are and bringing you away from God and His principles, you ought to listen to them. You ought to listen to them, see. I just think Samson just made horrible decisions in this area. Well, it didn't work out in chapter 14, chapter 16 of Judges. We read in the first few verses, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And again, this man has a foundational problem. He has a great weakness for when it comes to his desire for the wrong kind of women. Now, young men and young ladies, please listen to me. It may be old-fashioned to the world, but you know what? It's not old-fashioned to God. You know what? You ought to walk down a marriage altar pure and clean, and you ought to offer your husband or your wife, your future husband or wife, on your wedding day, a pure vessel that's been saved for them. Now, let the world do what they want to do. Let the carnal Christians do what they want to do. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to sacrifice something that's going to be meaningful and that is not, it's going to be something that affects you long term. It's going to affect you long term in your marriage. Just decide. Make a vow to God in this matter of your personal purity. You decide that you're going to stay pure. You decide that you're going to stay clean. You just say, by the grace of Almighty God, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm not going to get caught up in chasing the wrong type of a young lady or the wrong type of a young man. Now, what you got to understand here, folks, is listen to me. Not everybody is not what they seem to be on the outside. Samson loved Delilah. He was totally infatuated with her. But you know what? He thought Delilah loved her, but Delilah had just made a deal with the devil to deliver him. Delilah had made a deal with the devil to deliver this great judge of Israel and to cause his great downfall. And boy, I pray that you'd listen to this. Young people, listen to me. Your emotions can get so stirred up that you know what? You can't see what's right in front of your face. Have you ever read this story? Even when we were reading it, didn't at some point you just kind of wanted to go, Samson, yeah. Duh. Hello, Samson, woohoo. Samson, what in the world's going on here? It's plain to everybody else. This woman's come three times, and three different times she's tried to get the secret out of you, and three different times when she thought she had it, she called people to come in to take you captive. And three times she lied to you, and then she's crying and carrying on about how he's lying to her. I want to say, you know why you say, Brother Jerry, I don't get that. I do. I'll tell you what happens, young people. You can become, you let your heart get away from you. You let your emotions get away from you. You just decide that you're going to go after who you're going to go after, and you're not going to listen. You know what? Love is not only blind, sometimes it's just stupid. And that's why in this area of getting godly counsel, it's very, very important that you listen to people around you that love you and care about you, and so that you make the right decision, because this is big time. This is big time. See, she only wanted to use him to get what she wanted. You see, young people, you've got to understand the difference between love, what the Bible says is love, and what the world says is love. Spend some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this week. Read it over and think about it and understand that love conducts itself with integrity. Love acts a certain way. Love is more concerned about you than they are themselves. And lust is very selfish, and it's all about them and what they want. Be very, very careful, young people, in this matter, because the Delilahs are out there. You see, young man, I think if you're a godly young man, and you're being raised in this system here, and you're in a Christian home, and you are attending a Christian school, I guarantee you the devil isn't going to get you with a lot of things that he'll get the world's kids with, or kids that are carnal, or kids that aren't given your opportunity. But the one thing he has the best chance of getting you is to send a Delilah your way to try to get you headed in the wrong direction. I promise you, when he can't get you with anything, oh, Brother Jerry, I never smoke dope. I never drink booze. I never smoke a cigarette. I mean, I'm not going to go out and live with the party crowd. And you know what? You'll determine to that, and you'll make the right decisions, and you'll make multiple trips to this altar. But let me tell you something. Sooner or later, the devil's going to send a Delilah into your life. And you know what? Where nothing else would get you if you're not careful. If you're not disciplined in this area and use godly wisdom in this area and stay on your knees and pray for victory in this area. Listen, you know what? I don't know. Maybe 75 years ago, a young person could accidentally get to the altar in the right condition. But I'm going to tell you something. That don't happen anymore. If you're going to get the altar in the right condition, you're going to have to predetermine and purpose in your heart, as Daniel purposed in his heart. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to get desperate. I'm not going to settle. There is a God in heaven, and I'm going to put this in his hands, and I'm going to trust him in his times to do a work of grace in my life. And I'm just going to focus on preparing and getting ready and preparing myself to be the best husband or the best wife I can be. And I'm not going to, listen, you've got to just decide that. You've got to vow that. You've got to take this thing seriously in this matter of waiting for God's perfect will in a marriage partner. Now, Samson made some mistakes here. Can we look at him? Samson, we've talked about some, but Samson, he foolishly lingered. He played around with sin, folks. Let me share something with you. He just didn't use much wisdom when it came as far as what to do when temptation comes. Now, let me have your heart for a few minutes, okay? Samson was guilty of foolish lingering. Samson was guilty of foolish lingering. Samson continued to play around with sin, thinking that he knew how to beat it. I mean, he toyed with it. He toyed with her. You know what? I'm smarter than her. I can play with this sin. I can lay my head in her lap time and time again, and I can come out of this unscathed. Young people, listen to me. There's a foolish lingering sometimes that I see in young people's lives where they just want to kind of hang over at that edge and just dabble around in sin and just be convinced that, you know what, they're smart enough to know where the line is, and they're smart enough not to get caught, and they're smart enough not to fall over the edge. You are living in mortal danger. You are living in spiritual danger when you live in that area of your life. See, Samson, he played around with sin. He told her the first lie in verse 6 through 9, we read it. The second lie in verse 10 through 12, we read that. The third lie in verse 13 through 16, you know what? He was playing the game and he was winning the game. But you know what? He lingered a little too long. You see, he had the thought, I'm strong enough. I'm mentally tough enough and I'm physically strong enough. I can go play with temptation. I can take fire into my bosom and not be burned. But you know what he found out? That you can't do that. You see, Ecclesiastes 9:16 says this, wisdom is better than strength. Did you get that? Wisdom is better than strength. Okay, Samson, you may have been the strongest man alive. You were the Hercules of your day. But let me tell you something. A little bit of wisdom would have been much better than all of your physical strength. And you've got to be careful, young man. I know that you're strong. I know that the glory of young men is their strength. I know that you have the abilities at this time of life to do some things like you'll never be able to do later on. But I'll also tell you this. A little bit of wisdom is a ton better than all the strength you can muster up. And you have to use wisdom in how to deal with temptation. Hey, there's some places you shouldn't go. Well, I'm going there, but I'm not doing anything. You keep going there and you'll start doing some things.
There's some people you ought to avoid. Well, I hang around them, but you see, I'm strong enough now. You may be the first time and the second time and the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time, but sooner or later, you keep playing around with it and it's going to get you. You see, it's going to get you. You see, there's some things about temptation you ought to learn. Let me just give you quickly three truths about temptation. It won't take very long. Look at verse 16. Temptation is persistent. Temptation, number one, is persistent. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Now, here's the thing about temptation. It'll just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Let me tell you something about the devil. He'll just come again and 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 again. And you know what? The first handful of times, you may come out victorious. And then you'll start to struggle a little bit, but you'll tell yourself, because you have pride like I do, your pride will tell you, oh, well, it's getting a little harder, but I can still handle it. And it's fun. It's fun living on the edge. I mean, I don't want to be too spiritual. I don't want to be too religious. I don't want to be like some of the young people in our church that take this thing so doggone serious, don't even know how to have a good time. And you're just going to keep talking to yourself. By the way, that's not you telling yourself that. That's the devil telling you that. You see, that's the devil whispering those things in your ear, and he's making you think that you thought of them. But you know what? It's the oldest game that's ever been played. It's the oldest game that's ever been played. And the thing about temptation is, you know what? Satan is persistent and temptation is persistent. And it'll wear you down and wear you down and wear you down and wear you down. And sooner or later, it'll catch you on the right day, in the right attitude, in the wrong attitude, in the wrong frame of mind. And you'll become a victim of something that you swore you'd never do. Listen, temptation is persistent. Number two, it is not a sign of strength to stay near temptation and resist it. It is a sign of strength and wisdom to flee from it. To flee from temptation. See, temptation is persistent, so what you need to do is get away from it. Let's take a few minutes and look at some verses in the Bible that will back this up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let's go there first. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, I hope you're getting this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Notice what the Bible says to do in this matter of temptation, especially when it's temptations concerning the flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. What's that talking about? That's talking about pulling a Joseph. Potiphar's wife comes around. You don't sit there and discuss it with her. You don't sit there and talk with her about it. You run. Brother Jerry, that seems kind of cowardly. It's not. That's what the devil will tell you. That's another lie the devil just whispered in your ear. That's not cowardly. That's the righteous way, the right way, the godly way, the scriptural way to handle temptation. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now listen to me. When temptation comes, you run. You get out of there. You don't hang around. Well, it'll be embarrassing. Listen, you know what's more embarrassing? Ruining your life. You know what's more embarrassing? Ruining your testimony. You know what's more embarrassing? Ruining your good name. You know what's more embarrassing? Putting a black mark against the cause of Jesus Christ. Who cares what they think? You hightail it for home. Get out of that situation just as fast as you can get out of it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And verse number 12. Watch this. Boy, this is an important verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. I think this is a Samson verse. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Did you get that? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape. Exit, door left. Boom, you're out of there. Not, he didn't say, I'll give you the strength to face it and resist it. He said, I'll give you an escape route, buddy. Take it. Take it, you see. And make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. And there it is again. You know what God said? Run. Hit the road. Run.
Run. Gentlemen, listen to me. I'm talking to grown men here. You're hanging out at the workplace and there's a bunch of guys standing around. All of a sudden the conversation goes south. Be man enough to walk away. Well, what are they going to say? Who cares what they say? You ought to be ready to give an answer, by the way, to the faith that you... Listen, be ready to give them an answer back. You know what they're probably going to say. And by the way, what a great opportunity just to turn around and take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Gentlemen, you know what? I'm not against you guys. I pray for you every day, and I'm glad that I work with you. But I want to tell you something. I'm a Christian, and there's just certain things that I don't listen to. You know what? That's strength. That's strength isn't sitting there laughing and carrying on. No, that's weakness. You get out of that. You walk away from it. Listen to me. You be careful in the workplace. If you gentlemen work in a place where there's ladies also employed, and it's hard not to nowadays, you be careful in the workplace. And you won't work out in this workaday world very long without you having some flirtatious, strange woman come and begin to all of a sudden show you attention. And you know what's amazing? What we can convince ourselves of. Folks, guys, go look in the mirror. It's not because you're irresistible, all right? It's because the devil's setting you up for a fall. Let me tell you something. You cut that thing off. Anytime a lady comes up and starts trying to be flirtatious with you, I think the first thing to do is always bring up your wife. Start talking about your wife and how glad you are and how thankful you are for her. But the best thing to do is just get out of there. You just go and hit the road and get away from that, you see. Listen, folks, it's not a sign of strength to stay near temptation and resist it. It's a sign of strength to flee from it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at one more portion of Scripture here. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 10, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Sounds like God has got a plan for overcoming all this temptation. He's saying hit the road, take off, get out of there, you see. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, since we're right there, let's go ahead and read it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22. Young people, listen to this. This is a verse for you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now you have the Bible instruction. God's given you plenty of ammunition. He's given you the way to overcome temptation. And the way to overcome it is to get away from it. Flee, flee, flee. You see, temptation, number one, is persistent. Temptation, listen, it's not a sign of strength to stay near temptation and resist it. It's a sign of strength to flee from it. Let me give you the third thought. If you play with sin long enough, it will eventually destroy you. If you play with sin long enough, it will eventually destroy you. Now let's visit back, if you will, Samson as we conclude the message, all right? Judges chapter number 16, and let's see where the end of this road takes him. Verse number 17, we just read verse 16, where this woman is pressing upon him. She's an enticer. She knows how to say the right things. She's smooth. She urges him. The Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. What happens? He just keeps hanging around. He just keeps playing the game. He can handle it. He's strong enough. Remember, he's strong enough. Verse 17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. By the way, Delilah, what did she do? She immediately went to the Philistines and immediately brokered a deal and turned him over to the devil and his crowd. Boy, this is something else, isn't it? I thought that she loved him. You see. Now look, if you will, down in verse 21. But the Philistines took him. Watch this, young people. You better think about this. This is a real man. By the way, he's stronger than any man in this room. Physical strength. Okay? But let's see what happens to him. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Oh my goodness sakes. Look at that potential. Look at all that this man could have been for the Lord. He probably had the potential of being the greatest judge that Israel ever had. And where did he spend the strength of his life? Grinding corn for the Philistines. Instead of them using a horse or a donkey, they used blind Samson. You know why? Because he thought he was strong enough to play with sin and that he wouldn't get burned. Now, young people, let me just give you this little outline in verse 21. I'm just going to give it to you, all right? This was an outline I heard way back in my college days. Sin blinds, sin binds, and sin grinds. Sin blinds, sin binds, and sin grinds. Let me tell you something. What will happen with sin is it will. You get involved in sin long enough, and it'll put your spiritual eyes out, and all of a sudden you're not able to see what's clearly seen by every other person that has a half a lick of sense. And one bad decision will be another bad decision, which will lead to another bad decision. And you know what? No matter who tells you what, you just can't see it. You know why? You played with it too long. It's got you. It's got you. Young people backslid away from God. You go to try to talk to them and reason with them, and they just look at you like you don't know what you're talking about. And you're like, why can't they see this? I'll tell you why. Because sin blinds. Not only that, but sin binds. Well, if I just go out and live the way I want to, I'll finally be free. Well, it didn't work out too well for Samson. And the thing you'll find out is all of a sudden, folks, one of the consequences of sin is that sin limits everything that you could have been for the Lord. Sin ties you up. Sin ties you up. You have more freedom, young people, staying within the boundaries of Scripture than you ever will going out there and being a slave to sin. Now, you're going to serve some master. You're going to serve some master. You better listen to, you better mark this down. You better remember your preacher told you this. You're going to serve some master. Now, you can choose a loving master who has the nail scarred in his hands to prove how much he loved you and how much he cared for you. A master that will watch over you and take care of you and see that you get to live a wonderful life. Or you can serve the devil and you can serve sin. You can serve a liar and someone who hates you and someone whose whole purpose in life is to destroy you and make you miserable. You've got to decide who you're going to serve, you see. Samson got to choose. You know what? He played around and played around, and sin blinded him, and then sin blinds, sin binds, and sin grinds. And folks, let me tell you something. You know how many folks have had to walk that little circle and grind out year after year bad decisions they made because they wouldn't listen to somebody that loved them and trying to help them? I'm talking about young men in this room, and you know what? Some of you are 6 months away from disaster. Some of you are 3 months away from disaster. Your preacher's pleading with you. Your parents are pleading with you. I'm pleading with you again tonight. Listen to me. You need to wake up. I know better. You need to wake up. Because what's going to happen is that lifestyle that you're going to head towards, you're going to choose, is going to put you in brass fetters, and it's going to tie you to a wheel, and you're going to walk that circle over and over and over, and you're going to get to every time you go around there, think, I don't have to be here. I shouldn't have had to be here. I didn't have to make these mistakes. Oh, if I'd have just listened! But a lot of times, folks, you know what? The consequences of sin, we a lot of times think the consequences of sin, boy, I'll tell you what, somebody goes out and rebels and gets out of God's will, and we think, you know what? I'll tell you what the consequence is. Consequence of sin is God just strikes them dead. No, he doesn't. A lot of times he just ties them to the wheel and lets them spin year after year after year, grinding the devil's corn, grinding, making food for the devil's people, dug themselves in a hole they can't seem to get themselves out of, and every time they take two steps forward, they get knocked back four steps, and they can't figure out why nothing ever goes right, and they just stay in this little type of life, and they're caught in it, and you know what? That's the price of sin. Are you listening to me? That's the price of sin. See, it's just grinding and grinding and grinding. Say, Brother Jerry, is there a hope for somebody like this? Well, I love verse number 22. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And you all know the rest of the story. God did allow Samson a measure of grace in his death, where he was able to accomplish to a great degree what God had sent him originally to accomplish, and that's to free the children of Israel from the rule of the Philistines. But you know what? He could have done it so many other different ways. And I mean, don't you see him? They take him out. And they take him in the Colosseum and they laugh at him and mock at him and play games with him until he's exhausted. Finally, he takes to the servant boy and says, listen, am I by the pillars that holds up this big Colosseum? And he says, yes, can I just rest my hand against the two main pillars?
Then there's old blind, I don't know if blind man with his eyes burned out can cry or not, but if he could, I think tears fell down his cheeks. And I think he said, God, I'm tired of the blindness. Lord, I'm tired of the fetters. I'm tired of the grinding. God, would you just let me one time feel what I used to feel when I was a young man before I made all these stupid mistakes? And God is such a gracious God. And he gave him strength. He pushed on those pillars. And the Bible says that it ended his own life. But he did more for God in that day than he had done. He slayed more Philistines than he had in his entire life in that one last moment. And I'm looking at Samson. I'm thinking, Samson, I love you, man. It didn't have to be this way. God had a great plan for your life. He didn't have to end it like this, you see. Young people, listen to me. Listen to me. Stay on the straight and narrow. Some of you girls are already being led away because your desire is for the wrong type of a young man. I didn't even say anybody in particular. I just say you already have a heart for somebody that's walking the edge. Some of you guys, you don't have a desire to marry a dedicated, separated, soul-winning, godly young lady. You want to find one of those that live on the edge. And you think that that's going to be better, but it is not going to be better. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. You find a young lady that loves God, that is not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, that have given their lives wholly to them, that has a set of standards that they're not willing to lower for anybody. Young ladies, you find a young man that's got a heart for God, set his face like a flint to serve God with his life and to be productive in this matter of accomplishing things for the kingdom of heaven, and you stay on that straight. Listen, you find that kind of guy that no matter what anybody else is doing, you know what? Who cares? I've already made up my mind. I know where I'm going. I'm going to serve God. And you will be so happy down the road that you made the right decision. I pray that you'll open your heart tonight. If you even find this much, just a little teeny, itsy-bitsy root of rebellion in this matter, you need to come to an altar. You need to get that thing straightened out. You need to get that thing straightened out. Listen, it's not worth it. Adults, am I right? It's not worth it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help, Lord, us to salvage some young people tonight. Some of them are already making plans to graduate and head over with the Philistines and pursue a Philistine-type life because, boy, it sure looks fun. Boy, they seem to be having a great time. And it'll all work out. Oh, it'll be great. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you speak to a heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Young people, are you listening? Did you hear what the preacher said? Did you see what the Bible said? Did you see what's right in front of your eyes? Did you see it? Did you see it? It won't be long and school's going to be out. We're going to go into summertime. It scares me to death. It scares me to death. You get out of the structure of school, you have a little more freedom. Start running around. Some of you are getting up the age where you're getting jobs. I'm not against you working, but it scares me to death. Scares me to death. You know what? The world, the worldly people, they want somebody like you. They don't want to be like you. They just want somebody like you. But they'll run you. They'll bring you down. Are you listening? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this message. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help, Lord Jesus, our young people to stay right smack dab in the middle of your perfect will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to let the piano player play. If you are burdened tonight, you're an adult, and you say, Brother Jerry, I'm burdened for our young people. Would you come pray for them? Would you come pray for them? Brother Jerry, I'm burdened for our young people. Would you come pray for them? Ain't going to do any good to talk about them. Do any good to gossip about them. Would you come pray for them? Jerry, I'm concerned about our young people. I'm concerned about my children. I'm concerned about my grandchildren. Would you come pray for them? Would you bend your knee before God and say, God, give them the wisdom they need? Would you build a hedge of prayer about them?
Young people, how about making some commitments tonight, some decisions that aren't for sale, that aren't for sale ever? No matter who it is, no matter how enticed you are, how tempted you are, there's certain things that you're just going to decide tonight, and these are not for sale ever. They're not for sale. Let everybody do what they're going to do. Let everybody go the way they want to go. But you've made a decision. I'm going to find God's will. I'm going to stay right in this area. I'm going to listen to people that love me. Get away from the crowd that's telling you, don't listen to mom and dad. They don't know what you're talking about. Get away from that crowd. Get away from them. Get away from them. Get away from them. Get away from that crowd that says, the only reason you do the things you do and dress the way you dress is because that church controls you. You get away from that crowd. Those are enticers. They're trying to destroy your future, trying to rob you of something God has for you. Wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom's better than strength.